We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, now, there's a reason why you haven't heard this story of Abraham and Lot that much. It's a very simple reason. It's because trying to tell this story from Genesis chapter 14 is, well, first of all, it's a tongue twister. There are more names, more impossible to pronounce names in the first 7 verses of Genesis 14 than probably any place in the Bible. They're real difficult to pronounce. We might not even attempt to do it here as we look at those verses, among others. But also, this is a simple story of Abraham just kind of doing something for his nephew Lot when Lot is captured in war with all his stuff. A resident of Sodom. We'll get there a little bit later in Genesis. And Abraham simply does what he needs to do. He goes out, goes to war himself with, 318, I believe, of his own men, and he rescues his nephew. We're going to be telling that story and find out why it has something to do with the fifth commandment as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday, July the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to talk about the first 16 or so verses of Genesis 14. He's a regular guest pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
We're going to be talking a bit about the fifth commandment in the course of telling this story about Abraham simply kind of getting his nephew Lot out of hot water. Why does the fifth commandment bear upon this story?
Yeah, I'll be glad to answer the question, but first of all, I want to respond to how difficult it is to read the first verses here, but it really isn't, because I just simply changed the Hebrew names into what the English names would be. So the first verse is, in the days of Todd, king of Shinar, and Jeff, king of Eleazar, and Craig, king of Elam. It's pretty easy to read it when you change it into the English.
Yeah, you did quite a bit of changes there.
I'm not sure they're the best translations.
This is not what we're going to hear. We're not going to hear this one read from the lectern during an Old Testament reading, because no one would attempt to even mount those kinds of names. But we're talking about kings that were at war around Abraham, and that somehow Abraham's nephew Lot gets mixed up in this. So back to the fifth commandment.
And that means if you want to obey the fifth commandment, you wouldn't allow a field worker to read that Old Testament lesson either. Because the fifth commandment, a lot of people, you shall not murder. And what murder means, I had a little problem with that when they changed it from thou shalt not kill to you shall not murder. But I've come to like murder better, because the word kill could mean killing chickens or cows or this kind of thing. But murder is very distinct, in that means to take a life without the permission of God. And I do say that most people think about that. So when you ask them, have you ever, sinned against the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder, they're like the Pharisees and say, oh no, I have never done that. But Luther's explanation, yes, there is a negative thing. We should fear and love God so that we do not endanger our neighbor's life, nor cause him any harm. And now here's the next part. But help and befriend him in every necessity of life. Now, that particular translation does what all the meanings of the commandments do. Here's first what we're not supposed to do, but then here's also what we are supposed to do. And in answer to your question, therefore, what Abram did with Lot is precisely the second part, that he helped and befriended Lot when one might think he might not want to do that. because of a certain decision that Lot had made earlier.
Okay. What was what's that decision that might have made Abraham less than willing to help Lot out in this pickle that he found himself in?
Well, the two of them had such large families, and they had kind of their own group. And their own group started fighting a little bit about. And so they came to the Jordan Valley, and Abraham said to Lot, "You choose what land you want to go to." And Lot looked towards the land, and he chose what he thought was well-watered. In fact, it says it was like the garden of the Lord. That's in the previous chapter 13. And Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, which wasn't as good a land as what Lot had suggested. And so one would think, okay, Lot, you chose that land. Now, what Lot didn't see was that there were very evil men in the area that he chose to go to. And that's when chapter 14 begins telling us that there were four invading kings that went to the area where Lot had settled, and there were five kings there that were trying to defend that area, but they lost against the invading kings, and the invading kings took everyone as a prisoner, and also they took a lot of their possessions. So Abraham, when he heard about that, boy, you would think, well, Lot got what he deserved. I mean, how many times do we believe that in the sense of karma? I think a lot of Christians believe in karma, which simply means what comes around goes around, or you kind of get what you deserve. But Abraham had such love for Lot that he decided, no, I am going to go and attempt a rescue. And you were correct. He had 318 individuals, and they went in pursuit of where Lot was. And that's very important to remember, that Abraham was therefore obeying the second part of the fifth commandment, namely to help and befriend people who have a necessity of life, which he did with Lot.
I think the other thing that is we probably need to point out here, and we usually view Abraham as, we kind of just picture this really old guy with a lot of possessions and cattle, but he has an army too. He actually does strike fear in the hearts of the Canaanites when he is sojourning there in that land, and when need calls, he can actually go to war, at least in this case, a little skirmish of we'd consider a small battle, but he has 318 trained men ready to go and rescue Lot.
Yes, there's no doubt, although the 318 would have been overwhelmed by the army that would have been against them. By the way, in verse 14, it talks about 318 trained men. This is the only time that Hebrew word is used in the entire Old Testament. But it is really, as you pointed out, a testimony of the wealth that God had given to Abraham. Now, the odds against them, that shows something else that happens again and again. Remember with individuals who wanted to have a big army, and no, God says we don't need those many people. Well, here's a situation where if Abraham is going to overcome those armies with only 318 men, it's a way that Moses is underscoring the fact that the victory is not that of Abraham, but that of God. And that says a lot to us in regard, you know, sometimes we just don't want to do that second part of the fifth commandment to help and befriend our neighbor in every bodily need, because it's going to take time, it's going to take sacrifice. But here we have a wonderful example of the faith of Abraham again, that he believed that he'd be able to overcome these wicked individuals, even though he was outnumbered.
We got about a minute or so before we take our first break here, Tom. And And there's a lot of discussion here of possessions, and we don't usually think, and you had mentioned earlier, the great wealth that God had given to Abraham. Nowadays, especially with kind of the prosperity gospel, sensible Christians say, well, maybe there's something wrong with having possessions. Abraham was fabulously wealthy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. But it often gives a misimpression that occurs among the Pharisees. They believe because they were wealthy, they owned a lot of sheep, people would really revere them, that meant that God was pleased with them. What we really have is the great distinction, and we can talk more about this after the break, of Luther's theologian of glory, who looks to himself and gives him glory, versus the theologian of the cross. Regardless of the circumstances, God will never leave us nor forsake us. Abraham was not a theologian of self-glory. He was, in a sense, a theologian of the cross of Christ, believing the Messiah would come, and therefore that's why he was not afraid to take after the enemy, even though his numbers were not as large.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, another few minutes with Pastor Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson. Then we'll talk about millennials and the liturgy. Gracie Olmsted, author of a column titled Why Millennials Long for Liturgy, will be our guest, and Molly Hemingway of Fox News will round everything off. The New York Times has done a poll on the relationships of men and women in the workplace, and lo and behold, kind of squares with something Vice President Pence had said some time ago that was a big flap right after the election. We'll talk about that in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
The Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education invites you to attend our Reformation Summer Conference, July 11 through 13, 2017, in Cheyenne, Wyoming, focused on truth and education. Speakers include the Reverend Rolf Preuss, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Dr. Thomas Korchak. Enjoy this year's unique banquet experience at a Wyoming bison ranch. Visit ccle.org for more speakers and information. That's ccle.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muskoka, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muskoka, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuskoka.com.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats
where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel Abraham, rescuing his nephew Lot in Genesis chapter 14. Right before we went to the break, Tom, you had mentioned that Abraham is trusting in God. In fact, that becomes a big theme of the next chapter in 15, where that famous word, he believed the Lord and it was counted to him as righteousness. But he's trusting the promise of the Messiah that God was making and keeping through Abraham. And so that was why he was not fearful of engaging in this battle. Talk more about that, if you would.
Yes, this is the huge difference between every other religion in the world and Christianity. In Christianity, our focus is not on the environment, not on our experience to try and figure out how God relates to us, but instead his promises as found in the Holy Word of God. Now, in chapter 13, the one just before the one we're looking at, and I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to look at that, it says very clearly, the Lord says to Abram, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. Now, there is a promise. It's not the best land. And see, the problem with the theologian of glory, he takes a look at his experience, and it appears that the promises of God are not being kept. And that's because he has not understood the distinctions between law and gospel. The gospel is that the promises are always kept, regardless of the evidence where it does not seem they are being kept. And of course, the best example is to remember the disciples on Good Friday. They did not at all think that Jesus was successful. But the fact that we call it Good Friday shows that the promises of God were still in effect. There's something else here that Abraham, Moses, all of these are kind of looking forward to Jesus. And you cannot leave this lesson without talking about Jesus. I've often said one of the reasons that Jesus had to become incarnate was because he had to become a human being. Because angels cannot die for human beings. Animals cannot die. Hebrews is very clear that no sacrifice of any animal ever forgave sin. So one of the key verses I would encourage them to look at is Hebrews 2, 16 to 18. It says, for surely it is not angels that he helps. Now, the he refers to Jesus. Angels, there is no help for angels. There's no way of salvation. Instead, it goes on, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. And that's referring to the fact he had to become incarnate. So where we see Abraham obeying the fifth commandment in delivering Lot from the enemy, we need to recognize that Jesus did a lot more to deliver us from our enemy, namely Satan. He had to become a human being. He had to suffer. He had to die. He had to be embarrassed. He had to be humiliated. None of that really happened to Abraham so much because he was rich, he had the men, and God gave him the victory. But Jesus also had the victory. And that's why you never can just say doctrine. You have to take the doctrine and apply it to the people. And so, in light of Hebrews 2, listen to verse 18, because here is where it is applied to the people. The fact that Jesus came, became like his brothers, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. That means he took care of the punishment. And then verse 18, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And see, that's something that we as Christians, we are often tempted not to obey the fifth commandment, because we think the fifth commandment is telling us sins that we should not do, whereas the fifth commandment also accuses us of a failure to do good works in helping the neighbor. And a lot of times we don't do that. We don't want to like the neighbor. Maybe we don't want to take time. We don't want to suffer. And yet when we see that Jesus did and his promise that he will bless us, I think that is the main point of Abraham rescuing Lot, pointing forward to Jesus, who's rescued every one of us from the enemy, Satan.
Well, this is how the Sunday school curriculum Growing in Christ puts it. It says Jesus' ministry on earth was concerned with restoring the damage caused by our sins against the fifth commandment. He met the physical needs of the hungry, fed 5,000, brought lepers back to the community with healing, and he dramatically raised the dead, the widow's son at Nain, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus. This ministry pointed to the most profound act of restoration, Jesus suffering and death on the cross and rising again to defeat death itself in order to give us life with him forever. Just a taste of the Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, and they'll send you a free sample of Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Isaac and Rebecca. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
Gracie Olmsted will join us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about millennials and worship. We usually think of millennials as being that generation that is either ignorant of or doesn't really care about history or anything that happened before they were born. But is that reputation completely deserved? It seems millennials kind of nostalgic when it comes to worship and liturgy. We'll talk about that with Gracie Olmsted. And then Molly Hemingway joins us to talk about a New York Times poll on workplace relationships.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lord, help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask, what makes a church faithful? Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois, continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the Small Catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.